And a very happy Easter to you all. It's wonderful to be gathered together on this glorious Sunday morning. God's been very kind to give us such a beautiful morning. Lovely to have you here and to be gathered together to celebrate this beautiful Easter together. We've got a really great morning together ahead of us. We've got some really great songs to sing, some interesting things to think about, and I am convinced the best news that we could ever hear. If you're new to church and you're not quite sure, you know, what to expect, what to make of things, we are so glad that you're here. It really is wonderful to have you with us. You'll see scattered around you these little contact cards, and on the screen behind me as well, there's a little QR code. If you're someone that just finds it helpful to know kind of where are we going, what's happening for us this morning, you can make use of that QR code, and that'll take you through to some information on our website that gives you a little bit of an outline of what is ahead. But at the end of the day, you can just follow along. We want you to feel really relaxed to be here with us, even if it's not your usual kind of zone on a Sunday morning. Just to follow along, being comfortable that what we're doing next will become really clear as we make our way through it. I also know if you're in a new environment, it's helpful to know where the facilities are. You'll see that there are toilets just to the front on either side, and there's baby change facilities over this way on your left, just in with the disabled toilets that are over there. Most Sunday mornings, we run a children's program for our creche and preschool and primary age children. But because Easter is such a wonderful celebration of the good news right at the heart of the Christian faith that Jesus is risen, we decided to celebrate all ages, all in together here. So for the mums and dads, don't be anxious if your little ones are making a little bit of noise. That's part of the fun, and that's totally fine. But if you would feel more comfortable, or if they would feel more comfortable with a little bit of room to roam, just out through the glass doors, there's a parenting space out there with just some little toys, mainly geared at the very young children. And we'd love you to feel free to make use of that if you would like. Friends, we're about to begin our time with a wonderful hymn that's an invitation. We're going to sing to each other and imagine that we're singing to the world out there around us. It's an invitation to join us this Easter Sunday in praising our great God and King. And then we'll hear the first of three short Bible readings that we have scattered through our time together this morning with some reflections on them. Can I invite you to stand, though? Because on the screen behind me are these wonderful words from 1 Peter, written by one of Jesus' early disciples, the Apostle Peter. And he reflected on resurrection in this way, except it's not on screen, it's just on my page here. Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That is the good news that we celebrate today. So let's sing with that invitation for all creatures of our God and King to join us in praising him.
Yeah. Good morning. Please take a seat as we come to our first Bible reading. Isaac. Today we're reading from a letter the Apostle Paul wrote to some early Christians to remind them that Jesus rose from the dead. So we're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and at last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born.
Thanks very much, Chris. Well, friends, I wonder if you've ever played a game called Pass the Message. Kids, have you ever played a game called Pass the Message? Some of the grown-ups might know it by its old and rather politically incorrect name of Chinese Whispers. But it's that game where, let's say I was to come down here and I was to give Christy over here a message, and she has to whisper it to Hannah, who whispers it to Covis, and Covis then comes across and whispers it to Annie, who gives it to Caroline. And imagine if we whispered the same thing, the message all the way around. I wonder if, you know, I got down the back here and I went up there near Alicia and I said, "Hey, Alicia, what was the message you got?" And you can imagine how it could be pretty funny, wouldn't it? Like if we started out down the front here, and because it's Easter, maybe the message that I gave to Christy, I said, "I like to eat chocolate eggs." And Alicia gets the message, "The fly has got polka dot legs." And you're like, "That's ridiculous." We started out with something true, but we ended up something ridiculous. And you know what? I think a lot of people think that is a little bit like Easter. That here we are, 2,000 years after Jesus died, and we're saying, you know what? Jesus is alive. And I think some people think, actually, that just sounds a bit like a game of Pass the Message, that something got a little bit mixed up along the way. But that's not what we've just read, actually, because in the words that we just read, that Chris read out for us, we have some of the earliest records of the truth that Jesus is risen from the dead. They're the words written by the Apostle Paul, written to a church in a city called Corinth, and we can be really confident that Paul wrote them that letter in either the year 54 or 55. That's a long time ago from now, but it's only 20 years after Jesus died. That's not 2,000 years of past the message. But actually, even more than that, Paul was reminding the Christians in Corinth that these were things that he had taught them when he had visited them, and he taught them to them because he received them when he first became a Christian, and that happened very soon after Jesus died. And the way that Paul summed it up, we see that he used some really helpful words, very carefully chosen words, so that these first Christians could sum up the message of Jesus in a way that they could remember and not get mixed up. And Paul learnt them, and now he's passed them on to them. But it didn't get messed up in a game of, you know, pass the message. It comes directly to us. So kids, this is actually something that whether we are 5 or 50 or even more, we can actually remember this because it's been recorded for us in a way that it doesn't get mixed up. Did you see that? In what we've read there, there are actually 4 big ideas. And this is really good for us to remember at Easter time, Christmas time too, but we're here on Easter, aren't we? First, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that's a short way of saying Jesus' death on the cross, that did something really awesome. He died for our sins. But it's according to the scriptures. We need to read the whole Bible to understand that. There's a lot to understand about that. But it's a big, simple idea. Christ died for our sins. Second point, that he was buried. That's a very short way of saying, yeah, he really died. He really died. They buried him. Third, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And at that point, we should be thinking, what? That's a huge claim that Jesus rose from the dead. Gosh, I need to go back and read a bit more of the Bible to understand what that's all about and what that means and why that's so important. Well, fourth, that he appeared to Cephas. That's a man's name, a man called Peter. We read from some of his letters earlier on. It just sounds a little different depending which language you say his name in. That Jesus appeared to Cephas and to the 12. And that's another way of saying, you know what, he died and was buried, so we know he really died. He rose again and he appeared to these people, so we know that he really rose again. There's 4 things that I reckon all of us can remember. And in fact, as Paul goes on, he says, Jesus didn't just turn up to a few people. He actually appeared to lots of people, even 500 people all at once. And when Paul wrote this letter to his friends, a whole bunch of those people were still alive. And that's really important because it meant that those friends, when they got the letter, they could say, ah, did Jesus really appear to you? Were you there? You were there? That really happened. They could check it out. This is not a game of pass the message that started with something sensible and ended up with something outrageous and silly. This is actually the truth, that Jesus rose from the dead. And maybe some of you, you're thinking, actually, all of these people who are mentioned up here, they were just Christian people who, they wanted to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and it was easy for them to kind of be fairly easily convinced. But actually, you know what? They only became Christians because Jesus rose from the dead. Up here, we read, then he appeared to James. Now, that James is Jesus' brother. And James did not believe that Jesus, his brother, was the Son of God. We can read in the Gospels that James thought his brother was crazy. He thought he'd gone a bit loony. And then he saw Jesus risen from the dead, and he believed. And actually, when we finish, Paul says, Jesus appeared to me also, Paul himself. And Paul had hated the Christians. He hated this idea that Jesus was the king that was rising from the dead. No, he didn't want to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But when he saw him, he was convinced. Because Jesus really did rise from the dead. He died and was buried because he really died. On the third day, he rose again, and he appeared to all of these people. And that message hasn't got mixed up down the years. It's been the core claim of the Christian faith ever since those first believers in Jesus saw him alive after he'd come back from the dead. And if you want to read more about that, we've got some copies of Luke's Gospel down the back that we'd love for you to feel free to take away as our gift, to read those eyewitness accounts and actually reflect on that for yourself. Friends, I think this is news that is really worth celebrating. When we show up on a sunny Sunday morning in the middle of a four-day long weekend, it's easy for us to forget how significant those 4 points are and how wonderful this news is. Christ died for our sins. He really was dead. And he rose just as God had said he would. And lots of people saw it. So we can be sure it is true. So friends, kids, do you want to come down? And we're going to make some noise with this next song because it's a great one that says, Annie, can you walk over that way and take them out there? It says that Jesus really is the King. Christy, can you take that one and go right down the back there? And Hannah, help yourself there. It's a great song that says, Jesus is the King. Come on, if you want to make some noise with an instrument, feel free to come up and grab it, regardless of how old you are. It says that Jesus is the King. He's the ruler over everything. And actually, we know that is true because on the third day, he rose again. And lots of people saw it. And that message hasn't been mixed up, but it's actually been carried through to us today. So, friends, I'm going to invite you to stand. Feel free to grab one of those instruments if you like. But the message we proclaim is the message that has indeed been passed down throughout the centuries and around the world. And because we want to recognise that we're a part of something that's been going on for a long time, it's really special to be able to say these same words that people have greeted each other with on Easter Sunday for the last 2,000 years. Would you like to respond in the words that are in bold on the screen behind me? Because Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Well, let's sing about it.
Now, some of you have got noise-making instruments, but if you don't have anything in your hands, you can follow Bree. Because she's going to action. All right? Here we go.
Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, promised one, the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord, he's the one you can't ignore. Jesus, Jesus, he is the King. He is the King. He commanded the fishermen, hey, come follow me. And they did. Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, promised one, the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord, he's the one you can't ignore. Jesus, Jesus, he is the King. He is the King. He commanded the evil ones, hey, come out of him. And they did. The 3 days after
friends, that was a joyful noise. If the kids would like to bring their instruments back up and we'll gather them together now. Take a seat. Christy, I need your help here. So Christy's going to come and bring us our next reading. So if you put them down there, Christy, that'll be great. Thanks, darling. Well done. Well done. Christy's going to come on up and read from a little bit further on in that same letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And now we're thinking a little bit more about just why it matters so much that Jesus rose from the dead. Thanks, Christy.
1 Corinthians 15, verses 20-23. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruit, then, when he comes, those who belong to him.
Beautifully read. Thanks so much for that. I'll take that with you. Good on you. Well, kids, I've got something here. I'm going to bring it down because I know it's a bit hard to see from back there. Let's see. Zach, can you tell us, what does that look like? What's this one here?
A knife.
Oh, wow. You tell me you're no good at your gardening. But you've nailed that. I was gonna have to move around and see if some people could help us out here. And in particular, you've done a great job, Zach. That was excellent. Can you tell, for the people watching at home or from the other side of the room, is that a big lime or a little lime?
Little.
That is a little baby lime, isn't it? That's quite cute, isn't it? There's lots of little baby limes on this branch, aren't there? Because this comes from my lime tree at home, and I was thinking about how just a couple of weeks ago, that was all that we had on our lime tree, just lots of tiny little baby limes. And I was looking at, I quite like limes. I don't know if any of you like limes. They're the sort of fruit that you can do lots of nice things with it. That's what it looks like when they're really big and juicy. And then you can cut them up and you put them in your soda water and it feels quite fancy and tastes quite nice. But actually, when you have got a lot of limes, one of my favourite things, if I can find the time and can be bothered, does anyone know what that is? Lime sorbet. Oh, that is so good on a hot afternoon, sitting down with some lime sorbet. And you're thinking, what on earth has this got to do with Easter? I've left some things over here that I need to go and get. Well, I wonder if you noticed. In our Bible reading that Christy just read for us, that we actually heard about Jesus as the first fruits. See, when we get our first little baby lime, I'm thinking, oh, we're about to get the harvest that is to come. Because that baby fruit there, it's got others that are coming along, doesn't it? And you think, well, I am looking forward to my tangy, juicy, sweet harvest of limes. And I look at the rest of the tree and I think, there's not just one lime here. We've got a huge lime tree at home and it's covered in limes. And actually, I know when I see that first one coming, there's going to be a lot more to follow. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying Jesus' resurrection is like. Jesus' resurrection might sound like, oh, it's just one guy a very long time ago. And nothing like that has happened since. But actually, we need to realize that Jesus rising from the dead is like the first fruit on the tree that says, watch out, because there's going to be a great big harvest to come. There's loads more to come. And that's actually the promise that we read. All in Christ will be made alive. Each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. So you see, on Easter Sunday, we remember that because Jesus is risen from the dead, everyone who belongs to him will too. And that changes everything. Easter Sunday changes everything because suddenly death is not the end. We don't like to talk about death very much. And that's kind of understandable because death is really sad. We feel very sad when people die. We miss them terribly. And I don't want to die. We don't want to die because we want to continue on loving and caring for the people around us. But because of Easter Sunday, we don't need to be afraid of death. Because death is not the end. For those people who belong to Jesus, Easter Sunday teaches us the story keeps on going. Because Jesus' resurrection shows us that Jesus really is God's king. We just sung about that. He is the ruler over everything. But actually, Easter Sunday, when Jesus rose from the dead, we see that he is God's mighty king, who is also a wonderful, faithful, kind king. Because Jesus is so kind that he doesn't say that he's just our king and lets us run around do our own things. He says he wants to be our friend, to draw us to him, to live with him. And not just for a little while now. Kids, you might look around and you look at some of the grown-ups here and you think, wow, they've been alive a long time. Actually, if you spoke to them, I reckon they're probably thinking, oh, it hasn't been that long and I don't know how much longer I've got to go. But because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that this life is just the beginning. Because Jesus is such a kind king, he calls us to himself that we would be his friend, so that we can be where he is. And at Easter, we see that Jesus went right through death and out the other side. And he's a wonderful, mighty, kind friend who promises that he will take us with him right out the other side of death. So we're going to sing a song about that. It's a song that's probably new to most of us. Well, that's kind of fun to learn a new song, isn't it? And we're going to get to know it pretty well because we will sing it again in just a few minutes' time, a little bit later in our morning. But it's a song that is all about how wonderful it is to know Jesus, who is so mighty that he defeated even death, and he is so kind that he invites us to be his friends, that those who turn to him, he welcomes to enjoy life now, but also right throughout the other side of death. Because at Easter we celebrate that Jesus really did rise from the dead, and so if we belong to him, we will too. Let's stand and sing together.
Jesus is his name. He fought for me on Calvary and trampled on the grave. His name is true. King, Lord of creation, ruler without end. I call him hope.
Please take a seat. What an exciting day that we're here to praise our Jesus who rose from the dead today. So please pray with me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are here today to celebrate the exciting news of what you have done for us. Jesus, we thank you that we have the true message, the true and correct message that you died for us. Thank you that you were buried and rose again. Thank you that you showed yourself to so many people so that we could hear the true message. Today we celebrate that you, Jesus, are alive and that we are alive because of you and that we have new life because of you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that the world, that you are here full of peace, you are mighty and you are kind. Lord, the world we live in can be a very messy place. There are lots of people fighting, lots of people sick. There's sadness, there's death, there's hardship and difficulty. We know, though, that you, Jesus, are powerful, mighty, kind, merciful and loving, and you are our friend. May more and more and more people find you, Lord Jesus. May we pass on the message, may people hear your message, that you are the King of peace, love and gentleness, the ruler of all. We celebrate today and we thank you that we can live with you as our friend. Amen.
Thanks, Jane. All right, well, I've got another one here to show you guys. I'm wondering, I thought I had a tricky question for Zach. I'm not sure if this question's going to be tricky enough. Alex, can you help me out? What do you think that is?
Egg.
It's an egg. Yep, okay. Heidi, what do you think's going to come out of there? What sort of animal might hatch out of that? A chicken. Seems pretty obvious. So I just wanted to check, though, does anyone think that maybe a puppy dog is going to hatch out of this? Could a puppy dog? Why not? Why isn't there going to be a puppy dog coming out of this? Why not? Puppy dogs don't come out of eggs, I hear you say. Yeah, see, there we go. Yeah, someone did say it's not a puppy dog egg. Well, that's right. Puppy dogs don't come out of eggs. But you're all thinking this is probably a chicken egg. But you know what? Could actually be that a crocodile is going to come out of this, because actually crocodile eggs look very similar to chicken eggs. They're about the same size. They're about the same colour. Believe me, they are much harder to get hold of here in Adelaide. But they look quite different, don't they? If you were looking at the egg, it's hard to imagine, exactly which one is going to come. Because chickens, they're kind of fluffy and clucky, right? But crocodiles, they're a bit different. You look at the egg and you think it's pretty similar. But how would you... They're not fluffy, are they? Crocodiles are not fluffy. They're scaly, they're green, and they go chomp hard. Don't go near them. But the point is, because you're thinking, what has this got to do with Easter Sunday? Well, there's an egg link, okay. We're going to come to that in a little while. But actually, the point is that we've got one more reading that Grace is going to bring to us from a little bit further on in Paul's letter to those Christians in Corinth. And we're learning a very important and very simple lesson. When we hear about people rising from the dead, it's hard to imagine. It's a little bit like trying to imagine whether this egg is going to have a chicken or a crocodile just by looking at it. Let's have a listen to what Grace is reading from 1 Corinthians 15, and then we'll pick up on that together in just a minute.
Morning, everyone. So let's continue reading from verses 35 to 38, and then we'll continue reading further down a couple of verses. So, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just the seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Further down in verse 42 to 43. So, will it be with the resurrection of the dead? The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. One more verse, further down in 54, says, when the perishable has been clothed with perishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed that has been swallowed up in victory.
Thanks so much, Grace. Well, friends, did you see the egg? No, you didn't, because it's not in there. Paul didn't use the illustration of an egg, did he? But did you notice how he did describe our resurrection bodies? He said it would be like trying to picture a wheat plant by simply looking at its seed. So, this is what wheat seed looks like. Friends, that's what your bread looks like before someone's done a lot of work with it. Okay, so that's where bread comes from. That's wheat seed. If you were just looking at that wheat seed, it's small, it's hard, it's kind of round, it's very brown. It's kind of hard to imagine what the plant would look like. It's leafy and it's long and it's slender and it's kind of soft to touch. And Paul's point is that if you look at the small brown seed, it's impossible to picture what the green leafy plant is going to look like. It's a bit like looking at the egg and trying to imagine, is that going to be a chicken or a crocodile? And that's what it's like with our resurrection bodies. What's it going to be like? I honestly don't know. After all, when Jesus rose from the dead, kids, over the last couple of weeks out at Trinity Kids, we've been thinking about this, haven't we? When Jesus rose from the dead, he could appear in a locked room with his disciples. Somehow his body was there, but he could get through a locked door. He could rock up and enjoy a meal with them, and then when he'd had enough of the conversation, he'd just disappear. There was something amazing about his body. And then, right at the end, when he'd finished teaching his disciples, we read that on the last day with him, they saw him rise up into the clouds and disappear before their eyes. Now, even my kids get that that's a bit weird. Harris is about to turn 5 tomorrow, And he knows, actually, that's a bit strange. If Jesus rose into the clouds and then disappeared, can we get out the telescope and find him? Like, where is he? But actually, that's the nature of it. Doesn't mean that Jesus is less real because we can't see him with a telescope. It just means that there's something really amazing about his resurrection body. That it was totally different. It is somehow kind of spiritual, supernatural, more than just a physical body. But it's still Jesus. It's still his body. Jesus could show his disciples the scars on his hand and the wound on his side from when he was crucified on the cross. He could sit down and eat some food with them and it didn't sort of just plop on the ground. He had a real body. He could eat with them. He was the same. Kind of the same how a wheat seed grows wheat, not pineapples. And how a chicken egg makes a chicken, because that's not actually a crocodile egg. They just look like that. And guys, our resurrection bodies will still be us. Charlie, you'll be you. I will be me. It'll still be us. And we don't need to worry about how we're going to die and what happens if something really weird happens to my body. It doesn't matter how long it's been since when we died to when Jesus raises us. In a way that I don't understand, but I know that I can trust, God promises that when Jesus returns, he will raise us. It will still be us, but in a totally new way, in a way that is just better than we could possibly imagine. Trying to imagine it is like trying to look at that wheat seed and imagine the plant, or look at a boring little egg and imagine the amazing creature that is going to hatch out of that. And I reckon that's kind of something fun about Easter eggs, right? This is why I was picking on crocodiles and chickens, because actually it got me thinking, some of you have got an Easter egg and maybe a lot of Easter eggs. Wouldn't it be kind of cool to look at Easter eggs and think, actually, this reminds me that if all I had ever seen was an egg, it would be very hard to imagine what was going to hatch out of it. And Jesus rising from the dead tells me it's very hard for me to imagine what it's going to be like when I rise from the dead too. Because God offers us this amazing future that is just mind-blowing. It's amazingly good. And it's the resurrection of Jesus that tells us, remember, he's the first fruit. He's the one at the start of it all, so that we know that there are many more to come. We know that he is the first fruit because we know that he really did die and was buried and rose and was seen. And that changes everything. Because, well, if I feel like I'm missing out, maybe I think, I don't know, guys, what would you like to do? What would be your most exciting thing? If I thought, gee, I'd love to do a trip to the moon before I died, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen, I actually don't need to worry about that because I'm confident that resurrection is going to be even better. If I feel like my life is too short, I don't need to worry about that because I know that resurrection life will go on forever. If I think I'm missing out now, I don't need to worry about that because I know that God loves me so much and the best is still to come. Now, I used to be a medical doctor. You don't need to be a medical doctor or a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon or to know that this is, people just don't rise from the dead, right? But this is what Easter teaches us. It's what Christians call the gospel. It's the announcement that Jesus died and rose again, that he really did, that people saw Jesus alive again. They knew it, and they knew that it changes everything. So Jesus really did rise. He promises that those who belong to him will rise too. And it's going to be better than we could ever imagine. So friends, we're going to stand up and sing that song that we've just learned. We're going to sing it again, but this time I want you to have those thoughts in your mind. I actually want you to think about singing this song and making those words your own. Isn't it wonderful that this mighty King Jesus calls me friend? Let's stand and sing. Just about to finish our time. Feel free to take a seat if you like. In just a minute, I'd love you to come and join us for a coffee, maybe grab some chocolate Easter eggs. There's even some limes out there, which is kind of me offloading our abundant harvest. But perhaps that's a nice Easter way of remembering that God has an abundant harvest in mind too. We would love you to have the chance to continue to explore the claims of Easter. As we've kind of tried to sum up for us here, there's some pretty big claims. And if they're new to you or you're keen to find out more, I mentioned picking up a copy of Luke's Gospel, which we've got down the back there, and it's a really good chance to just go and read the account of one of those first-generation Christians. We've also got this lovely little book called Is Easter Unbelievable?, which asks four big questions in one little book. Is Jesus' life historical? Is his death ethical? Is his resurrection credible? And actually, is Jesus himself even kind of desirable? But actually, more than just reading a book about it, we'd love for you to come along and join us on a Sunday, where each week we dive into different parts of the Bible. That is still reading a book, but it's reading the book about it all. Through the month of April, we'll be asking whether the love, the hope, the freedom, and the justice that Jesus offers are really good and true. It's a great time to come and dig a bit deeper into these big claims. Because these are the claims of the gospel. That's that Christian kind of churchy word that means the true announcement, the big news that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again, and lots of people saw it. And they know that changes everything. So we're going to stand again and just sing our final song, that as we head out into the rest of the day, we know that there really is this one gospel that we stand in. Let's stand and sing our final song.
My father's blood, the Son of
Christians for about 2,000 years have been praying something along these lines, so let's finish our time with this together. Almighty God, you have conquered death through your dearly loved Son, Jesus Christ, and opened to us the way of eternal life. By your grace, set our mind on this Easter hope, so that our whole lives may be transformed. We pray this by faith in the one who died and rose and now reigns with you and the Holy Spirit in everlasting glory. Amen. Happy Easter, friends.